By the way, also I remind you, Brother Blanton said he had an unspoken prayer request I want you to pray about. And then I want you to, I know this sounds strange to people who don't understand, but I want you to pray for Brother Dunbar that God would lead him to where he wants him to be pastor. And you said, man, you're trying to get rid of him. No, I want to be sure he's where God wants him to be. And that is super important. And hopefully through these years he's been here, if nothing else, I've been able to teach him what not to do. All right? So, and to help him that way. But pray for him as he seeks God's will. He's been gone a few Sundays, and when he's been gone, he has been preaching at places. And you pray that God will lead him and direct him and help him to know where he should go and where he should serve the Lord next. And then pray that God would help us to find the person that would do the work that needs to be done here and work that he's been doing. So, but anyhow, you pray about that, all right? All right, Philippians chapter 3. If you will, look at verse 2. The Bible said, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. I preached to you just a few weeks ago on beware of dogs, all right? And tonight I want to preach to you on beware of evil workers and beware of the concision. You know, when God says beware, I believe we just ought to beware. I don't think he ought to have to tell us twice. He shouldn't have to tell us over and over. He shouldn't have to raise his voice. I remember my dad. My dad, he didn't believe in telling us twice as his sons. Whatever he said, he thought once was enough. And I wasn't as good at it as he was with my kids. But the Lord, when he speaks and when he shows us, we ought to pay attention, all right? We ought to just simply take note, watch out, and be careful regarding whatever the subject is that God's warned us about. Now, there's a lot in the Bible where God simply warns us, okay? I'll be honest, I would rather preach messages to you warning you about things than preach to you trying to get it fixed after we've messed up, all right? I'd much rather do that than trying to fix something. Years ago, Brother Ron Riley was the youth pastor at Trinity Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida. He wrote a book entitled Building Youth is Better Than Mending Men. And I believe that's true, all right? Therefore, I believe it's good if you get warned and you pay attention to the warning that comes your way rather than, okay, I've messed up, how do I fix it, all right? So in our text tonight, we're told to beware of evil workers and beware of the concision. We're going to group these two together, all right? Beware of evil workers, all right? Beware of them. Why we're grouping them together? Because those of the concision were evil workers, all right? They were evil workers. Just a few things, very practical message tonight, and we'll be done. Number one, evil workers have as their purpose to disrupt and destroy the work of God. That's the picture here. Philippians was written to a local church, all right? Philippians was written to a local church, a church like this church, all right? They didn't meet in an air-conditioned building. They did not have padded pews, all right? They may not have had their own building. We don't know. But they were a church like this. They were a local church, born-again people, baptized believers, and Paul's writing to them under the inspiration of God, and he warns them that they're to beware of those that are evil workers. Why? Because they're out to disrupt and destroy the work of God. Now, if they can't do that and destroy the work of God, then they move against individual believers, okay? They move against you as an individual, and they'll discourage you. They'll try to distract and or depress you as a child of God. Why? Get you out of doing what God wants you to do, all right? For instance, they'd love for you to be somewhere else on Sunday night than in the house of God. They'd love for you to be somewhere else on Sunday morning than in the house of God. They'd love for you to be somewhere else on Wednesday night than in the house of God. So they're evil workers. They're out to do all the damage they can possibly do and to damage your Christian life, to mess you up, okay? That is their purpose. That is their goal. And you have to understand that. Now, the problem is sometimes those evil workers are other people that at least profess to be believers. And you got to be on the lookout for them. It could be Brother Mark. No, I was kidding, all right? But the truth of the matter is it could be anybody in the congregation, all right? You say, well, what are they going to do? How do they operate? What are we careful for? Take your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, would you? 1 Corinthians chapter 14. There's things they do and they try to do that will disrupt the work of God, that will mess up the individual believer and keep that believer from doing what God wants them to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. One of the things they do is here. The Bible said, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. I believe one of the first things evil workers do, they try to cause confusion. They just try to cause confusion. Why? Because confused people have a tough time doing the work of God. Confused people have a hard time staying in the will of God. It's when you're confused. And when you get to that point, you say, well, I'm not sure what to do. And you say, well, how do you get in that point? Sometimes from listening to conflicting opinions. We get confused. We get confused. I've heard of a fellow that said he went forward in service and said the people come around him, and one's pounding him on the back saying, hang on, hang on. Another one's pounding him on the back saying, turn loose, all right? He said, well, what do you do? Well, how do you know what to do in a case like that, all right? There's confusion. There are those that would love to cause confusion, all right? Just love to get in and get you confused. Get you thinking, well, should I do that? Or is that right to do, or is that not right to do? Is that person over there, are they doing what they should do? What do they think of me? What are they? All of those things get involved. People get confused. Listen, when you come to the house of God, you ought not to look around at other folks in church and consider them and what's going on with their life. When you come to the house of God, the focus on it ought to be, Lord, it's me. It's me standing in the need of prayer. Lord, when the preacher preaches, help me not to look around and think, yeah, he's talking to that one over there, or he's talking to her. No, Lord, help you talk to me. You talk to me. We get confused because we begin to think about other folks and think about what they're doing or what they're not doing. Look, you stay focused on you. You stay focused on you. You come to the house of God, Lord, talk to me. Amen. Speak to me. Help me, Lord, to get something. If the preacher's preaching on salvation and I've been saved for 47 years, Lord, help me to get something. Help me to get something. If he's preaching on dipping snuff and against dipping stuff and spitting and all of that, Lord, I've never touched it, but help me to get something out of it. Amen. Really, you say, preacher, that's impossible. No, it's not. No, it's not. Hey, don't let evil workers cause confusion, all right? Don't let them come along and plant doubt in you. Don't let that take place. Matthew chapter 15, there's something else you need to be aware of and need to look out for when it comes to evil workers. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, verse 9, all right? Notice what the Bible says here. The Lord Jesus Christ was speaking, and he was talking about some folks there, and he said, folks that draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and you know, but he said, their heart's far from me. But notice what he says about them in verse 9. But in vain they do worship me. Why? Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Evil workers include those that teach man-made doctrines. Man-made doctrine. Hey, can I just say this to you? Watch out for the fellow who says, I found something new in the Bible. Watch out for that guy. Watch out when you're told, no one has ever seen this before. No, watch out for that. It just occurred to me as I was really standing here and reading these words. Look out for the fellow that wants to tell you about his trip to heaven.
Amen. Amen.
Now, you can find them on the internet. You can find them on the internet. They'll tell you about how God took them to heaven. They were in heaven for this long. I listened the other day to one of them. He said, preacher, you say, watch out for them. Well, I get entertained sometimes by that crowd. But I listened specifically, and one of the things I heard that made me think, son, I don't know where you were, but you weren't in heaven. Because he talked about the angels and their wings. He said, preacher, what's wrong with that? Well, there ain't an angel in the Bible said to have wings nowhere in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible does the Bible say angels have wings. All right? So when a guy that's supposed to know the Bible and claims to be a preacher gets up and tells you about his trip to heaven and that goes up there and tells you about what it was like and what happened and how it went with him, watch out. Just watch out, okay? You beware of that crowd. There's a great host today of man-made doctrine that's being spouted forth in the world today, much of it on the internet. The internet gives voice to anybody that's got the time and the talent to get on and record something and put it up. It's there. It's got a platform for it. And, man, you talk about all kinds of man-made doctrine. You say, well, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, there's no way I can cover all of it. But let me just throw a few of them out there. Purgatory is a man-made doctrine. Purgatory is a man-made doctrine. You say, well, preacher, why would you say a thing like that? Because it's not in the Bible. It's not in the Word of God. It is a man-made doctrine. The Bible's real plain. The Lord told the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And he said, Lazarus died and he was in Abraham's bosom. He said, the rich man died and he was in hell. No halfway point, no modern point, all right? The Bible says in Corinthians that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, if you go to purgatory, that means the Lord's got to be there. Now, the whole purgatory deal is a man-made invention. All of it. No scripture for it whatsoever. Hey, so is soul sleep. You said, what in the world is that? How many of you never heard of soul sleep? Be honest. I don't know. Okay. Soul sleep is a doctrine that is taught that when you die, when a believer dies, his soul sleeps. His soul sleeps until the resurrection. So in other words, that really they sleep in the grave. Until the resurrection, that's what they teach. And that's the doctrine of soul sleep. You say, where do they get it from? Same place they get purgatory. Same place, all right? It's just not in the Word of God. Not in the Word of God. You with me? Hey, so is the mid-trib rapture. It's a man-made doctrine. A man-made doctrine that says the believers will not be raptured out of here until halfway through the tribulation period. Now, I'm not going to belabor this point, but if that's the so, then what that means is that takes away the imminent return of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Takes away that imminent return. The Lord says, you watch, he said, for you know not what hour the Lord may come, all right? Two will be together, you know, sleeping, one will be taken, one will be left. And that takes away that imminence of that return, that he could come at any moment, if he's not going to come until halfway through the tribulation period. Of course, there's one guy that teaches half of the tribulation's already passed. That it occurred when Jesus was on the earth. The 3.5 years he lived on the earth, that was the first half of the tribulation period. I said, where'd they get that? Same place got purgatory, all right? I mean, all these things, man-made doctrines, okay? Evil workers. You say, what's the purpose? To confuse you. You be on the lookout. The Bible warns us about that stuff, okay? Just warns us about it. I do my best to never get up here and tell you, boy, I found something new in the Bible. Now, if I did, it might be new to me. But it don't mean it's new. It just means first time I saw it. It's been there the whole time, all right? It's been there. Take your Bible to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, if you would. Proverbs chapter 6, look down in verse 16. The Bible says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Evil workers are involved in all of these things. Evil workers involved in all these things. Evil workers seek and attempt to spread discord. If we can bring about discord. Now, discord is usually spread by talking about people. Discord is usually spread in talking about people. Did you hear what so-and-so said? Or, hey, this person said such-and-such about you. About you. You know, when somebody comes that way, seldom do such folks ever come up with anything good to say about anyone. Hey, so-and-so said you're the best Christian they know. No, you don't hear that very much. You don't hear that very much. But so-and-so said that you said this about me. Discord. Hey, often the criticism is directed at the pastor. Or other leaders in the church. You know, I've been trying to get the pastor and preacher. He just will not do this. He will not. He's not taking care of this. He's not taking care of that. That's the criticism. All right? Now, look, I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again. All right? I'm going to say it again. Marion, come here. All right? I like to pick on my brother. Come here. All right? We're just going to pretend that he and I are friends. We're going to pretend that we're friends. And I'll be careful. So he comes to me and he says, hey, Brother Marshall said such and such. What should we do? What I should do is take his arm and say, let's go see Brother Marshall.
That's right. Amen.
Let's go see Brother Marshall.
That's right.
You say, what are you going to do when you get to Brother Marshall? We're going to do this. Hey, Brother Marshall, he said that you said.
That's right.
That's where you do it.
That's it.
All right? That's the way you handle those things. You with me? That's the way you handle those things. You don't allow that kind of criticism. You don't allow that kind of stuff to continue. If somebody wants to come and gossip, you say, well, let's go see them.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Let's go see them. And most of the time, I mean, do it before they get it out of their mouth.
Yes, sir.
Hey, listen, so-and-so said this about, do you hear what they said about you? Before you even listen, say, no, let's go talk to them and find out what they said.
Yes, amen. Come on.
You know, there's a saying, let's get it straight from the horse's mouth.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You wind up, you don't have big problems when you handle it that way. If somebody wants to talk to you about Brother Graham, you come see Brother Graham and say, okay, go ahead and tell me what it was you wanted to tell me about him.
Right.
You said, they won't go.
Right.
That's right.
That's right. Amen.
Which means you don't need to hear it.
Right.
You don't need to hear it. If there's an accusation, it ought to be brought. It ought to be taken to the one that's being accused.
Amen.
Hey, if they're talking about you, wouldn't you appreciate it done that way? Now, let me say this to you. If they do get to you, you don't blow up.
Oh, no. Don't hurt.
You don't blow up. You know, I'm amazed at how adults act like kids.
Come on, brother. Preach.
Working now in our 48th year in our Christian school, dealing with kids. I marvel how much kids act like adults. And I don't mean that in a positive way, okay? Because the adults act like kids. They say, evil workers, what are they trying to do? Spread discord. Evil workers look for cliques. Evil workers look for groups, if you will, in the house of God. You know, the crowd that sits on the south side of the building, the south side clique. But over here we got the north side clique. You know, they won't sit on the same side with the... No, that's not a problem. That's just where they like to sit. Okay, that's not a problem. But when the evil worker can find that clique, what they want to do is set one against the other.
Right.
One against the other. You know, I told you about working with teenagers. Now, ladies, I'm sorry. I'm just sorry, but most of the time in my career in school, it's girls. And you get little groups in the school. If you only got 10 girls, you have 3 groups, at least, all right? You know, 3 in each group. You say, what about the one? Well, that one's running, telling each group what the other group's saying, all right? You with me? That's what the one. The one's the runner.
Yeah.
And they're going back and forth. What are they doing? Oh, just encouraging people. Oh, no. Sowing discord, all right? Sowing discord. That's exactly what evil workers try to do. Hey, it's very hard to work together when there's discord.
Amen.
And there's just, it's hard to get anything done. Very difficult to get anything done. Why? Because evil workers cause division. They cause division. Look in Romans chapter 16, all right?
Amen.
Look in Romans chapter 16, would you? Romans 16, down in verse 17. It's amazing that people don't change. We run the same kind of problems today they had in the church in Rome. Verse 17, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. There's an old statement that says, united we stand, divided we fall. Back in, I'm not sure what year it was. I think it's around 2010, something along in there. I got invited up to preach a youth camp in Pennsylvania. So my wife and I flew up there, and we landed, went to Dr. Randy Starr is going to be with us. He's out of a church in Brogue, Pennsylvania. His son now pastors it, and that was the folks that were sponsoring the youth camp. And after the week of camp, we came back. We had just a little bit of time. They loaned us the vehicle, and I went out driving around. And I'm pretty sure I may still have this picture on. Now, it's not on this phone, but I took a picture that was spray-painted on the side of a building. And instead of United We Stand, it was Unitas We Stand. Unitas. Now, if Brother Curtis was here, he'd be ready to say amen. He'd know what I was talking about. They were talking about Johnny Unitas, because it was real close to Baltimore, Maryland. And Johnny Unitas was the world's greatest quarterback, all right? And he played for the Baltimore Colts. And so those people, they, instead of United We Stand, they had spray-painted Unitas We Stand. And, hey, Johnny Unitas been dead for a while, but the sign's still on the wall, okay? It's still there. Why? Because it meant so much to them. Look, among God's people, unity ought to mean something to us. You look around, we're a diverse group. We're a diverse group. There's educated folks here. Not many, but there's some educated people here. There's some that maybe you didn't even finish high school. Diverse group. There's some that probably nobody would say wealthy, but comfortable. Comfortable. There's others just skimming it by financially. There's some here that are hale and hearty, and there's some here with multiple health issues. There's people here that root for the Cowboys. There's people here that know better, all right? You say, what about you, preacher? I really don't care, all right? I just said that to aggravate. But, I mean, I just want you to see we're a diverse group. We're not all alike. Man, thank God we're not.
Amen.
Thank God there's a difference among us. But we can still have unity. Because our unity is on this doctrine that's right here. We're united in what we believe. We're united in what we believe from the scriptures. That's what causes us to unite together. Hey, we can put up with the idiosyncrasies of other people. Look, you should never demand everybody have to be exactly like you. Don't do that. We're different. There's some here that we're just different. We handle things differently, look at things differently, and they act differently. Hey, that's okay. They don't have to be just like you. Don't have to be just like you. But we need that unity. Let me tell you, in that church, that early church in the book of Acts, over and over again, we see something said about them being in one accord. Hey, they weren't in the same Honda, okay? They were in agreement. There was unity. There was unity, okay, in that early church. You know why? That's why they were so effective. That is exactly why they were so effective. There was that overwhelming unity amongst them about belief. Now, nothing in the world that an evil worker likes to do than to get in, spread discord, and divide. Divide. The old saying of divide and conquer is true, has been true, and will always be true. It's easier to whip us if we can get us divided. It's easier to defeat us. I've seen families get divided and then get destroyed. Hey, don't let that happen. you beware of evil workers. Beware of anybody that would come in. That's why the Bible says you mark them which cause division. You mark them, and you avoid them. You avoid them. You don't listen to them. You stay away from them. You watch out for them. Lastly, let me say it very plainly, evil workers do the work of the devil. The devil doesn't have to do near as much as he gets credit for because he's got so many that'll help him. They're evil workers. I do not understand what motivates a person to tear things up.
Amen.
I don't understand that. I do not understand what would cause somebody to beat the windows out of a bus. For years ago, we parked the buses up on the parking lot here at church. And there was a spell where every week we'd come back, somebody had gotten inside the bus and kicked the front windows out. Now, I don't understand what motivates that. I would like to get a hold of the one who does that. And I would like to have just a few minutes of unfettered and unrewarded work with that individual. You know, I think there's some things that really could be cured in our day, but we won't take the steps that needs to be taken. Now, I don't understand that. And people say, me either. Why would somebody do that? Why would a kid get in there? And it is a kid. It's not an adult. Kid get in there and kick those windows out. That's why we park the buses where we park them now. They're down in front of my house. Why? Because they're safer there than they've proven to be anywhere else. And we used to park them at the school. We had one of them burn up, all right, because somebody set fire to it, all right? Hey, look, you say, why would anybody do that? Hey, let me ask you this. Why would a full-grown adult professing Christian sow discord among his brethren and cause division? Why would you do that? Why would you do that? You praise, preacher, who's doing that here? Nobody that I know of. But I want you to beware of those who might. Beware of those who might. You need to be aware of it. There's always that chance somebody might come and attempt to do that and destroy that unity. Look, what a shame it would be if we gathered together as a body and in our church we gathered together here together and we had people folding arms, cutting and glaring at somebody else in the church.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Why in the world would you do that? By the way, if you're tempted to do it, when we have the invitation, you ought to be right here.
Amen.
You ought to be right here. Evil workers do the work of the devil. So what does God say to us? He said, beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. You said, what in the world is a concision? The concision is those that believed and taught in the day of the early church that if you were, you really weren't a real good Christian if you hadn't been circumcised. Really, teaching that as part of salvation, perverting the doctrine of God. Hey, be careful about that kind of thing. Look, I believe there's some things ought to happen after you get saved. But you don't have to do it to get saved.
Amen.
But you ought to do it because you are saved.
Amen.
But they're not part of salvation. You're not going to teach that. We're not going to teach that, hey, if you don't do these things, you'll lose your salvation. There's another man-made doctrine, okay? You can lose that. Hey, beware of evil workers. Once again, I got nobody in mind. I'm not preaching this because I've heard somebody has said something. I'm not preaching it because of that. Haven't heard that. If it's going on, I don't know it. Hey, and if it's going on and you know about it, then you've not done what you ought to do.
Amen.
So as far as I know, it's not going on, but I don't want it to go on. I would like to stop that kind of thing for whatever happened. Stop that kind of thing for whatever happened. Hey, you beware of those that would sow discord. You beware of those that would cause division. You beware of those that would cause confusion. You beware of those that want to teach a man-made doctrine. You beware of that. Don't allow that to overcome you. I won't try to warn you. I mentioned that guy on the internet talking about his trip to heaven. The thing bothered me, some of you are going to go home and look for it. You're going to go home and look for it. Watch out for that kind of thing. Watch out for that. Look, it's amazing how the devil uses some things. It's amazing how the devil uses. Don't allow it to work that way with you, okay? Be careful about it. If you're not careful, you get sucked into things. If you're not careful, you begin to think, boy, that sounds right. That sounds good, but wait a minute. You be very careful. And the angel's wings, that was only one of the problems in that deal, okay? There are multitudes of them. But when you get out of the will of God, you get away from the Word of God, anything's okay. But anything and everything's not okay. Beware. Beware of evil workers. Hey, if somebody comes to you saying something about somebody else in the church, take them to that somebody else. Or stop them and say, listen, before you go any further, I just want to tell you, I'm going to go and take you. And if you won't go with me, then you better not tell me, because whatever you tell me, I'm going to go to them and tell them you said it. You can stop a lot. You can stop a lot of things. Listen, my friend, there's nothing like unity. There's nothing like being right with God. Evil workers have one desire, to harm and to hinder the work of God. If you can't do it in the overall general sense, they'll do it in the lives of individual believers. Don't let it happen to you. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. And Lord, as we look to the invitation time,